Today on Real Radio.
No other religious founder in the history of the world can boast that a book was written about them in advance in perfect detail. Nobody. Nobody is like your Jesus.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his timely series that takes a look at Bible prophecy. In fact, we're hearing a presentation called Bible Prophecy 101. There seems to be a growing trend in some professing evangelical churches these days to stay away from Bible prophecy. Yet the authors of Scripture included these prophecies for important reasons, as we're learning in this lesson called Bible Prophecy 101. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Technically, it's 26.8% of the Bible is Bible prophecy. One quarter of your Bible is committed to the prophetic or futuristic announcement of God's word in advance. And Revelation chapter 19, verse 10 says, "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." The very ministry of Jesus is to foretell future events and to announce the word of God. So church, this is going to be a very working service tonight. I want you to get a lot out of it. I want it to be very practical. I want it to be very, very useful to you. So I'm going to ask the guys to put up on the screen this introduction, I would say, to Bible Prophecy 101, and that is a timeline. Look at this timeline right now, it's going to be kind of hard to see. We're going to break it down into smaller sections in a moment. But as we look at this right now, what I want to do is get you accustomed, if you're not already, to the timeline of Bible prophecy. And rather than take up series of services, we're going to be doing one focused on this section that I think is most applicable for us today. And again, hopefully you'll get a bird's eye view or an overview regarding the Bible prophecies that concern us most. To the far left, you see Christ first coming to earth. We'll do that tonight. And here we look at the first slide, the order of events in Bible prophecy. Jesus is coming to the earth. Look at that. You see the arrow pointing down, Christ first coming. I'm going to give you some points to this in a moment. Christ's resurrection and ascension into heaven. That block right there, very small, but over 300 prophecies of the Old Testament were written regarding just that small fragment of time. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, no other religious founder in the history of the world can boast that a book was written about them in advance in perfect detail. Nobody. Nobody is like your Jesus. Nobody. The Bible is all about him. And as we look at this little section right here, 300 Old Testament prophecies announcing that the Messiah would come to earth. So note takers, jot it down as we look. Bible Prophecy 101, the first coming of Christ. As we look at it, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 46, verse 9, we looked at that, in fact, on Sunday. It's good that we repeat this verse. Isaiah 46, 9 says, this is God speaking, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me." He's absolutely exclusive in Bible prophecy. "Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my pleasure." This is God's announcement. He knows the future in advance. And last Sunday, we heard that God's declaration about Bible prophecy. We say, why does it apply to my life? Who cares? You care for this reason. False prophets cannot do what our God does. False prophets are false prophets because they are satanically driven and they fail. Satan fails in prophecy. It is the litmus test of what is true and what is false. It's very important to understand that. Very, very important to understand that. The first coming of Jesus Christ, mark it down, the Bible tells us in Romans 15, verse 4, that for whatever things were written before, Paul says, were written for our learning. Meaning this, listen, whatever is in your Old Testament is there for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, notice the scriptures should bring you patience and comfort you. Someone say amen. That's good news. That we might have hope. The scriptures are going to be bringing us hope. So church, jot this down. The first coming of Jesus Christ in our timeline, the Bible makes this announcement. Regarding that, you want to ask this question, what did the Bible say? If we're going to look at Bible prophecy, or if we're going to be introduced to it tonight, why should I care? You want to ask this question, what did the Bible say about Christ's first coming? Now listen, you may find this a little bit surprising. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "Now the Lord said to Abram," later to be called Abraham, "get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you," verse 2, "and I will make you a great nation." You say, what does this have to do with the coming of Jesus Christ? Good question. Write it down in your margins, write it down in your notes. Answer, Israel. Israel is the most hotly contended nation on the face of the earth. Why? Because it is a spiritual nation declared by God. I'm not asking you to consider the Jewish people. I'm not asking you to consider the shekel. I'm not asking you to consider Jerusalem. Forget that. I'm asking you to consider the fact that God tells Abraham, I'm going to make you a nation, and I'm going to establish you in a particular land, and from that location, everything is going to happen. Israel, the size of New Jersey, and it's the most important nation on the face of the earth. Amazing. Think about that right now. So the promise goes to Abraham, from you, there's going to be a nation. The very coming of Jesus Christ, notice Jesus was not born in a stable in Boulder, Colorado. No. Jesus was born in Israel, specifically declared by God. The Bible tells us in Genesis 17, verse 6, "I will make you exceedingly fruitful." He's speaking to Abraham. How's he going to do that? "And I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between you," between me and you, "and your descendants after you in their generations." Watch this. "For an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." The first setup for the Messiah to come to earth, there had to be an Israel. And we'll talk more about that in a moment, but that's an interesting thing to realize. Why is Israel, and why are the Jewish people so hotly contended in the world and the most persecuted people throughout human history? Because God had a plan. His Messiah, the Savior of the world, would come to the nation of Israel. Next verse, Jeremiah 32, 36. "Now therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city, which you say, it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, by the famine, and by pestilence. Behold," God says, "I will gather them out of all the countries where I have driven them in my anger." Remember, Israel disobeyed and God drove them out of the promised land. "In my fury and in my great wrath, I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people. I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. And I will make a what? Everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me." The nation of Israel had to be intact for the coming of the Messiah. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. See, all this is prophecy, people. You say, what does this matter to me? It matters everything to you. I know there's ministries that would say, let's not talk about Bible prophecy. Why? All of this builds up the very foundation of you and I sitting here this evening, a saved people. Nothing happens without God speaking it in advance. Micah 5, verse 2. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." The Messiah will be born in Bethlehem, whoever the Messiah is, being born in Bethlehem, he would be eternal. Gee, who could that possibly be? Isn't that awesome? This was 523 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. They read it in their synagogues before Jesus Christ was even born, and it was about him. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, translated God among us. The Christmas verse about Jesus the Christ. The second thing regarding the first coming of Christ, what did happen? Those were the prophecies. He would be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is in Israel. That through him there'd be an everlasting covenant, and that he would be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Quite frankly, I could be done tonight. We could go home. You just had enough right there to think and to meditate on. The next thing is this. What did happen? We ask that question. The first coming of Christ, what did happen? In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible tells us, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Matthew chapter 2, verse 3, we continue. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, watch this, together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Stop right there. Keep it on the screen. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, what is he probing? What is he looking? What is he looking back into? None other than Bible prophecy. Do you understand that? You're in a church tonight that is studying Bible prophecy, and yet it's a doctrine that is being ignored by many people who claim to know Jesus and go to a church all around the world, and they're not studying this anymore. This should add to you boldness and power in your witnessing and in your faith. God keeps his promises. Verse 5, so they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. So watch this. 2,000 years ago, they looked back 500 years before them. To what? The word of God, the Bible. But you, Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people. Who? Israel. 1 Timothy 3:16. You guys okay? We got a lot more verses to write down. So get ready. 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. God took on skin. Justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in or into glory. Oh my goodness. Proverbs 30 verse 4, you already know it. If I were to ever get a tattoo, this is what I'd get. I don't know why I just said that. I just thought, it's such a powerful verse. Proverbs 30 verse 4 says, who has ascended into heaven or descended, and who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment, and who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if you know? Say it. Jesus. Isn't that cool? God has a son. The third thing is this, the first coming of Jesus Christ, what was the fulfillment? We looked at some of them a moment ago, but what was the fulfillment? Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But while he, Joseph, thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son. Notice it's capital S there in your Bible. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That makes him the Messiah. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin, sound familiar? The virgin shall conceive, bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. 2,000 years ago, the angel cites the scripture from Isaiah 743 years later or earlier before the birth of Christ. Bible prophecy. That is awesome. Are you excited? I'm so excited about this stuff. Psalm 22, verse 16, Bible prophecy. 1,000 years before Jesus Christ was born, David prophesied for dogs. That's another word for Gentiles, heathen, unbelievers, pagan. The wicked have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. Here it is. They pierced my hands and my feet. That psalm you know is the psalm that says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Remember, Jesus was on the cross and said, what? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did Jesus say that? Because he's reciting the messianic psalm of Psalm 22. It's not that he was confused, why did God forsake me? He was announcing to the nation, go to Psalm 22. That's what he was saying on the cross. He starts quoting. Some scholars believe that Jesus quoted the entire psalm, though it's not recorded. Think of that, the great messianic psalm. Matthew 27, verse 33. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of the skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink, but when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Why? Because it was a painkiller. And they crucified him. Notice that word right there. That's why I used verse 35. They crucified him. They nailed him to a Roman cross. The prophecy announced 1,000 years in advance that Jesus Christ would be crucified. Jesus was nailed to his cross. Point number two, Bible prophecy 101. Mark it down, the time of the church. Will you write that down? The time of the church is the next thing on our timeline. The time of the church. Let's go to the next slide of the timeline. The time of the church. There you go. From the day of Pentecost, far to your left, it would be where that little black line begins. It says down in the bottom, the church age, Pentecost to the rapture. That is the age of the church. That's you and I right now. Isn't it fun about this? The day of Pentecost, when the church was born, that was 2,000 years ago. That ought to excite you. You want to know why? We are 2,000 years to the right of this timeline. We're 2,000 years down the road. And you know what's cool? Do you see that little thin line in the middle that says Israel established? That indicates, by the way, we'll get to it in the Bible prophecy in a moment, that indicates May 14th, 1948. You and I are living somewhere right of that little thin line. How exciting is that in Bible prophecy? So what are you saying? Well, I'm saying that the rapture could happen between that fat line and the skinny line. But where are we? I don't know. I think we're really close to that big line. I think we are really close. We are seeing amazing things taking place in the world around us. The world's gone nuts. And yet everything's coming together just exactly as God promised. The timeline of the church we look at today, and I want you to keep these three things in mind in light of this slide you're looking at right now. What did the Bible say? What did the Bible say about this? Well, the Bible says, and listen, Bible prophecy students tonight, keep this in mind. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10 says, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles... that's us, shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is an amazing prophecy of Isaiah 11, verse 10. You want to know why? In Bible prophecy, you're going to be so smart by the end of tonight. It's called eschatology. We mentioned it on Sunday. Eschatology, see my hands? Do you see this? In fact, we live in a very unique spot where you'll, maybe after tonight, you'll never forget this. In Bible prophecy, there's what's called the near and far fulfillment. In other words, have you ever wondered how the Old Testament prophets made a prophecy that was so specific, but it had to be fulfilled in their lifetime in some way, shape, or form? That's called the near fulfillment. In other words, Isaiah made a lot of prophecies, but why didn't the Jews kill him for the prophecies not being fulfilled? Because they were near fulfillments. Near fulfillments speak of what is the culminating fulfillment. And they look like two mountaintops. You and I live in a bizarre part of the world when it comes to this fantastic illustration. Did you know, those of you who are pilots, Alan, you know this, flying around Southern California here, there's a unique mountain range that displays the near and far fulfillment. And that is Saddleback Mountain right here, right down the 71, where the 71 and the 91 meet. You have Saddleback Mountain. Saddleback Mountain, however you fly around it in a 360-degree flight, it looks like a saddle on a horse no matter what angle you're at, always. By the way the mountains are laid out, in any direction you see two peaks, always two peaks from any angle. Other mountains, you see a mountain range, and then when you fly around it, they get in line with one another, and then they break up again. Not Saddleback. What's my point? In between these two peaks, the horn and the back end of the saddle part, are little creeks and valleys and trees and animals and stuff and Bambi running around and all that stuff in between these two locations. In between those two locations, that's life. That's generations. There's the near and there's the far. When this prophecy of Isaiah 11 is speaking about the ultimate culmination, the far fulfillment is the millennium. But the near fulfillment is Gentiles would come to believe in the God of Israel. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not Jewish. Maybe someone's Jewish tonight. But most of us are probably Gentile. Isn't it amazing? You sitting here tonight is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. You are literally the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Do you trust in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Have you been born again? Is your Messiah Jesus? Then you are the fulfillment of Isaiah 11:10. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus put it this way, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Isn't that awesome? Well, listen, what did happen? The next consideration is what did happen. Matthew 28:18. Listen, the Bible says Gentiles are going to believe in God and that Jesus is going to build his church. Listen, if there's a skeptic in the house, let me ask you, do Gentiles believe in Israel's Messiah? And did Jesus build his church? You don't have to be a believer to know the answer to that. Well, listen to this. In Matthew 28:18, the Bible says, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, or behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age or the end of the world. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, notice, epicenter, Jerusalem, and all Judea, and further out still, Samaria, and further out, Chino Hills, and to the end of the earth. From Jerusalem all the way out to the end of the earth, what would happen? The gospel would go out, and Gentiles would come to trust in Israel's Messiah. Did that not happen? That happened. Is it not happening? It's happening. What will take place concerning the church age?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson that emphasizes the importance of really understanding Bible prophecy. Bible Prophecy 101, that's the title of what we heard today. It's part of Pastor Jack's recent series that takes a look at Bible prophecy, current events in the Middle East, and what we believers can expect in today's world. We'll have more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we're offering this entire conference, including what you just heard by Pastor Jack, all on one USB drive. In fact, you'll get both the MP3 files and the MP4 video files. You're going to like that. So again, the entire Awaken Prophecy Month series with Jay Smith, Mark Hitchcock, Charlie Campbell, and Jack Hibbs, all on one USB drive. I got to tell you, I actually sat in for most of this conference. You're going to love this USB drive with all this fabulous teaching. And that includes all the MP3s, as well as the MP4 video files for your computer or your mobile device. All we ask for is your contribution of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. If you'd like to learn more, visit us at realradioactive.org and then click on the button right there in the middle of the page that says Special Offer. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Now, if you'd like to send in your gift, our mailing address is Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.